And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast,
the podcast,
the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, yeah. Kim Moore didn't sing along. What's up with that, man?
He didn't have headphones on. I don't know if you even heard it.
You put headphones on, dude.
I don't think I quite know the podcast song.
Well, you'll learn it. Before it's over, you'll learn it. The podcast this week is brought to you by Castrol GTX Magnatec. And a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes with your car's engine being no different. Up to 75% of engine wear actually happens during warm-up when you're just starting it up. So Castrol GTX Magnatec has intelligent molecules that cling to your engine like a magnet, and it provides you instant protection from the moment you start. And now you know. And
dude,
now you know.
Where's it at?
What? Oh, the gold?
Yeah.
I don't have one for this week.
Well, you better find it.
What?
Oh, yeah, we're waiting.
Well, I didn't have one.
That's like your thing, man.
I love to hear a gold right after you do the spot thingy.
We had a lot of stuff, man.
It doesn't have to be this
week.
Well,
you know what? I'll use this one because it kind of fits since Kip Moore is in with us.
All right.
Okay, good. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It does.
That was in there.
That does fit.
Kip doesn't know what that is, so we have to explain.
No, you
quickly.
Told him in that interview, remember? Yeah.
Did we? Oh, with Drunk Patrick?
Yeah.
Drunk Patrick hanging out in the hot tub with Kip Moore until Lord knows what time in the morning.
Yeah.
And then we called him the next day, and he was still lit. And we're like, okay, well, we'll talk to you later, Patrick.
Okay, good. Bye-bye. Yeah.
I tell you what, it was impressive the way, I thought I could hold my own, but this guy's on a whole nother level.
Yeah. He teaches classes on it.
Yeah. I do.
What's the story? He said, he uses the, because he doesn't like to fly. And so he's popping these pills.
He's the one that uses that excuse.
No. That was the first night. And I mean, I think I saw Kip for about 30 seconds that night, but we weren't hanging out. And I had maybe 4 whiskeys, which for me is just, it's nothing. I had had no food.
You know.
I had had no food. I had been traveling all day, and I had taken 2 Xanax, before each flight, and then 4 whiskeys.
I don't even know what Xanax does.
I don't either.
It's an anti-anxiety, so it makes you just not really care. You know?
I had surgeries, and literally, if it was something they gave me while I was knocked out, I took whatever they gave me while I was knocked out. But as soon as the surgeries were done, I was done. I didn't take any
Bubba's
pain medicine.
So macho.
No,
yeah,
it's
right?
Not even being macho. Yeah. It's just I like knowing what's going on.
No, give me all the drugs for pain. Are you kidding?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, yeah, that night I'm at the French restaurant or whatever on the resort. Yeah. It's about 9:30, and I just realized I didn't black out. I remember it all very vividly, but I just realized I couldn't walk. I couldn't stand up. I wanted to stand up from the table, and I couldn't stand up.
He gets a lot more talkative too. I learned when he's just chirping nonstop.
He says that he's a happy drunk.
He is. He's a very happy drunk. You can't get that yapper to stop. I mean, it goes nonstop.
Unless I'm floating in the pool. Then I just float.
Which we heard, like, people thought you were dying. They're like, should we call someone?
What?
Yeah,
like, I was floating in the pool at one point, and I was just laying there, just floating, just enjoying the feeling, you know, and I was pretty hammered.
Because he was floating.
But I was floating, and I remember someone telling me afterwards, yeah, we were worried maybe we should do something, and Amber, who was there, said, nah, he's fine, as long as he doesn't flip over. I'm like, yeah.
The sun was coming up to all those people's defense, you know what I mean? So
the sun was coming
up. Yeah, no,
I mean, I left at 5 and they were still going. So it had to be after that. So
5 in the morning.
Yeah. So I mean it had to be after that. So I'm sure the sun was coming up when he was floating.
Tell us more, Kip. We didn't get this version.
I'm being outed. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My favorite story though. It's when he says that he's in the hot tub, and then I don't think you were already in the hot tub, or he was in it when you guys are in the hot tub together, just talking, hanging out.
Yeah, we were.
And
I want to just to paint a picture.
Okay.
giant hot tub, size of this room. Yeah. Okay. Seriously. It really was.
No,
I kind of
like pretending it was a lot more intimate.
It was just a little bitty.
So they were where it was a jacuzzi tub in my room.
Yeah. But there was a moment, and I know where Dee's going with this. There was a moment where it was
Kip was like, can I sit in the back this time?
Yeah.
Scratch my back. Yeah. There was a moment where it was just me and Kip. And I'm at a moment, it was probably like 20 minutes. We're just sitting there talking, and then like all of a sudden, it was like, boom. It went from no girls to like 8 girls.
So the word had spread that
I don't know what happened. They all decided it was time to go sit in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And I noticed that they were all forming like a semicircle around Kip,
it was
trying to be as close to him as possible.
Crescent.
And I was just sitting on the other side going, you know, I don't really need to be here.
Yeah. Well, I was a little upset that it took away from our intimacy.
Okay. I was just upset I couldn't get any of them to talk to me, but that's fine.
That's all right. I mean, what is your game? What's your move?
Oh, I have no game. I have no move in that situation. I mean, you know, I'm not saying this because he's here, but it's hard to be cooler than that. You know,
he had game, guys. He had him laughing. I mean, he's got game.
That's his.
He does a lot of self-deprecating kind of thing. But this guy's got game.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone has something, and you have a great personality.
You're that guy, man.
You have a great personality.
Yeah.
All right, let's stop talking about me. Hey,
I've always said this, that any guy can get any girl, and I believe that, because women are a lot... I'm serious.
Carson just shot him.
I'm serious. I'm talking in general terms. It's not going to be like...
it's not science.
Women look for so much more, and they're deeper creatures on the most part than men are, where men are very shallow for the most part.
I don't think that's true. I think men are more honest about it. I think women are also shallow, but they lie and pretend.
I don't know,
man.
I think I've seen beautiful women that's like truly go for, you know, conversation, laughter, that kind of thing, and that's what they're about. They go through their stages where they, you know, the bad guys burn them, and then they end up with something completely different.
I mean, I'm gonna get a t-shirt
that just says something completely different. Yeah,
it's true. I've met guys that I wasn't attracted to, and then got to know them, and I got their personality and their sense of humor, I've dated them. But there are also, you know, like a guy's credit card gets declined on a date. Maybe
that happened to
Carson this week,
two nights
by the
ago.
Way.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe he doesn't have a chance.
Well, now, hang
anymore.
On. That, I mean, things happen sometimes. Like maybe there was just something malfunctioning with the car. Maybe he had cash in there.
He did not have cash because I paid for it.
Okay.
So my card worked fine. It was not the restaurant's fault.
Still think that was intentional, and if it was brilliant.
Yeah,
what a brilliant!
It's a really
I'm gonna
good
start
move.
Carrying a fake credit card that will get declined, so that when I'm on a first date and it's not going great, and I know she's not gonna go out with me again, I can just pull the old "Here you go, I'll pay." And when sir, it's declined, and you go, "Oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed. I cannot believe that."
I had an old drummer. That was his move. He'd ask you to dinner, and then you'd show up, be like, hey, man, let's go get some food or some drinks. And you show up, and he always, oh, man, I forgot my wallet. Uh-huh. He was that guy.
It's like the guys on Live PD.
Yeah.
Do you have ID?
Oh, no.
No.
What are you doing driving?
Oh, no,
oh,
this ain't
man,
my car.
This ain't my car.
Hey, I did that. When I was 16, I fell head over heels for this girl in Panama City. And I remember she asked me to come back. Now, she thought... She was 19 and went to the Gulf Coast Community College, and she asked me to come back, you know, and hang out with her. And I told her that I was a senior in high school, and I was going to college, so she thought I was 18, and I showed back up, and she wanted to go into a club. And
how old were you,
16? I was 16. I didn't have an ID, so I had to be like, oh, man, you know, I locked my ID in my glove compartment. Yep.
How'd that go?
You know,
it went fine.
It went fine.
We know.
Yeah.
We know the story. You know what? Just save it. Just because, you know what? It'll just be better than we think it is. So, you know, of course it was just fine. Patrick's never had a story like that. He never did. Patrick ever tell you tonight? I don't know. You call me off if you don't want to say it.
Okay.
He used to have a job at a place that...
Oh, that I used to work at a strip club?
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, wow. I didn't know.
I never told that story on the air.
I didn't know. I
but like, you started going there.
I'm just trying to be cool, man.
Yeah.
I was the DJ at a strip club for about 4 weeks in college.
You needed the money.
Yeah. But it was the worst job I've ever had.
I've had
it was
a lot of those.
Horrible. People are like, that sounds like fun. You just play music and girls dance naked. That's cool. I'm like, it was awful.
What was the worst?
It was just... Yeah.
Everybody wants to know instantly.
I mean, you got a buffet, right?
No, there was no buffet. It wasn't that kind of strip club. It was not a nice place. It was a sad place. The girls were weird. The guys that were there were weird. The guys that ran it were weird. The bartender was, everybody had a different thing. The owner was a total psychopath, he was this big, giant guy and was just mean to everybody. Mean to the girls, mean to the bartender, the manager, to me. It didn't matter. It was just an awful place. And everybody was all – it just – I was 19. The guy thought I was 21 because another DJ that I knew had recommended me for the job. And it was one of those things where no one ever asked, so I didn't tell him I wasn't old enough to be in there. It wasn't that big a deal. But you're 19 years old working in a place where they'll give you a little bit of liquor because you couldn't drink too much. You were working. And there are naked women dancing.
Sounds like an honest establishment.
Sounds like a fantastic place. They were paying. It was good money because at the time I was probably making.
And it was all cash.
Yeah, it was all cash.
And each girl had to split. Wasn't that?
Every girl had to tip you out at the end of the night. So they'd all come tip you $10 or whatever.
They were happy to do that, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Was the worst part of it getting the job when he asked you to take your shirt off? Was that the worst part?
What's the name of the girl in Fame? In that scene where they make her take her top off, I can't remember what
Irene Cara?
Yeah.
But I don't remember her name.
She's saying it.
Yeah. I just keep picturing the strip club from Ozark. I've been watching.
That's what I was thinking.
And I'm just,
of.
My mind is like, that's the guy that runs it. And you had to audition the same way Ruth did. You know what I mean?
Why does it always come back to making a boob joke about me with all of y'all?
No, I wasn't making that. I was making
it.
It was
a different joke.
Yeah. That was a different. Yeah.
You should really watch it.
Oh, I don't know that show. I just assumed I had to take my top
Carson
off.
Carson told me about that show, and I started kind of watching it. And man, it's really it put me in a funk.
I was just talking about this the other day, and I'm kind of open about this. I've learned this, especially through my music career, is that I do have. A sensitive soul. I've really tapped into that. I've learned that that's what bothers me a lot with a lot of things. I feel everything, good and bad. But that show, much like Breaking Bad, put me in this really weird. But I was kind of addicted to it. But it was truly affecting me in a very dark kind of way. Yep. I watched the whole first season in about 2 days.
It's almost hopeless.
Yeah, that's what it's. And the thing about Breaking Bad that was different is they had endearing qualities to the characters, where this one doesn't really have. It's like everybody's just kind of a crappy person.
You're not rooting for them.
Yeah, but it's still kind of addictive in a weird way.
I binged it in a weekend. I totally understand.
Yeah, I mean, Ruth was the only one towards the end that started having somewhat of an endearing, maybe hopeful.
She was working
character.
Her way up from the bottom.
But it was a dark show.
Yeah, wow. And if you haven't seen it, it's he's a money launderer for a Mexican cartel, and he's in the Ozarks, and he's really trying to get away. He made this deal that he could launder all this money and in the middle of nowhere, and he ends up doing it. But it's really, it's graphic. It's like, wow, there's things or parts in where I go, okay, I'm done. And then I go, okay, what's over with?
Yeah.
And then you go.
I'll hide my eyes.
I'll watch one more. Yeah.
And the ending is the best episode. That's when you kind of start to feel, okay, I feel good now.
Yeah.
Just so they can get you back for the second season, I guess. Or I'm assuming they thought that out.
Yeah, there's got to be a second season. Right? Cliffhanger.
Well, Breaking
for sure.
Stranger Things is coming out.
That's what I'm excited about.
In just
trailer.
A couple of weeks.
Did you watch
I haven't seen the trailer. My thing is, I can't. I don't know how I don't know how they're going to do that show because it was so amazing and suspenseful the first one. So I don't know how you make another season of that. But I'm.
There's a new big bad. You see clips of it in this.
That first one was unbelievable.
I'm a sucker for movies that are based in the 80s with kids on bikes. You got the fat kid. You got the Asian kid. You got the skinny kid. You got the jock kid. You got all of them.
I love the music. The music. Yeah. The music was great.
So good.
Good. And they're always on a mission. Because you know, have you seen It?
Yes.
It was very similar.
Very similar.
But was just a little. It was just darker.
I love the innocent qualities in It. Like when they're all swimming, there's a few like moments that I think a lot of people might not pick up on. But there was, you know, when they're all kind of looking at each other, there's kind of this joy that's kind of happening. But there's a lot of innocent, pure qualities that, and that's kind of the same thing with Stranger Things that I love about the show.
Now, here's the thing. I haven't watched It because I don't do horror movies. I like being able to be in the woods and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, what's scarier, Stranger Things or It?
Stranger Things, by far. The first time I saw Stranger Things, it definitely had me on the edge of my seat. Wait.
Well, Stranger Things was tense. It was never scary. It was just tense.
I was checked out with It from the moment that I heard it talk. The minute it was like, Georgie, I was like, all right, this guy's not scaring me. Yeah. I was out.
It has a few jump scenes. That are intended to kind of make you go, ee, but it's not scary. It really is. People have complained because it's the internet that it's more a coming of age movie.
Yes, exactly.
Than it is a horror movie. People thought Stephen King, they're signed up for horror, but no, it is a coming of age tale.
I think Stranger Thing, The Strangers was the last movie that ever scared me at a theater. That one got me. That one got me.
Yeah.
The Strangers.
What about The Walking Dead?
That's another one. There's only about four shows I've ever gotten into, which is Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, Ozarks, and Stranger Things.
Do you watch Fear or just the main Walking Dead?
Just the main Walking Dead.
So Carson's the same way.
I'm into that. I'm wondering who's going to take down Negan.
Here's my fear is that
next Sunday it premieres.
I know. The big rumor is that Rick Grimes is going to kind of play less and less of a part, and it's going to become Carl's story.
Ugh.
And if that's true,
that's it. I'm not watching.
I know. That's what I said.
I've been waiting on somebody to take Carl out from day one.
Yeah. I was like, that's the most annoying character of any show.
Yeah.
Herschel's place, I was like, maybe he won't live.
I'm usually like, I try to take actors, you know, the benefit of the doubt with actors, athletes. When everybody's harping, I'm like, this guy sucks, this and that. Like, but Carl is, I can be open.
I don't think
probably my least favorite character of any TV show or movie that I've ever watched in my entire life.
I was going to say, really? I don't think the actor sucks. I mean, I just think the role heavy.
It's the tough guy that when he's so opposite of a tough guy. It's the tough guy face that he constantly does on the show that makes me just want to come across this mic and strangle you at the same time.
Really? Are you doing the tough guy face?
I don't know. Was that?
No, I know. I'm just teasing.
Well, the thing with The Walking Dead is that it's we all have that. I think we all have that dream of. Do you remember being a kid, and waking and having a dream or just letting your imagination go that you there were zombies outside and you go in to wake your parents up and tell them and they're zombies.
No.
Oh, I'm a. Really? No one else?
No.
No.
I was like afraid of gremlins. But,
watch Gremlins. Have you seen the Gremlins since you were a kid? We watched it with my son the other night. It aged really well. It's not scary at all. Thank goodness. But on top of it, it's like still the sad parts are still really sad.
Huh.
Just remember before you watch it.
Dad in the chimney.
Before you watch it with your, I was going to say, before you watch it with your kids, remember that Santa reveal.
Oh, yeah.
With Dad in the chimney. So it's pretty crazy stuff, but it's good, man.
I have been slightly, not extreme, but slightly prepping, not because of zombies, but I do believe it's very, it's not a far-fetched thing that I feel like chaos could break out.
One EMP could wreak havoc.
Wreak havoc. Here's the thing.
And people, 2 years ago, if you don't know what an EMP, it's an electromagnetic pulse. It could be done a bazillion ways. Probably the easiest way to do it is a nuke to go off in the atmosphere.
Yeah, your car, your refrigerator, nothing with electrical is going to work. And I just think about like two winters ago when that snowstorm kind of hit Nashville. And I just remember for two days, pretty much 48 hours, there was no power. I remember Kroger was out, you know, by my house. And just the chaos that everybody was in 2 days. Mm-hmm. 2 days.
3 days.
So you think about.
The rule is 72 hours. It takes 72 hours for civilization to fall apart. Because people usually, within 72 hours, they run out of their water supply.
Yeah, man.
They run out of their fridge. Food starts going bad. And
so here's my thing. the chaos until it can get, you know, you have that hope that order would get restored. But your thing would be you need to survive, you know, a week or 2 weeks before somewhat order gets restored. So
Puerto Rico
the
right
chaos
now.
Is going to be centralized in the cities. So it's all about having a place to get out that's in the middle of nowhere.
Do you have a place?
I do.
Okay, good. We need to talk after this is all done. No, for real, because I've been looking for a place, and I had a place for a while.
I have something in a really, really cool space in a certain state, and I'm a piece of water,
there.
Everything. Yeah,
I always worry about, like, you know, because I'm kind of like a prepper too, and I had something lined up, and then it fell apart because the person that I was involved with kind of fell apart on it. But the thing is, we travel a lot. You travel a lot. What happens? Let's say your place. I'm going to hypothetical here. Your place is in Kansas. It's in the middle of the country.
Yeah, I already
what happens if you're in Maine?
I get it. So I did this in hopes, because you can't. There's nothing you can control about that. My hopes is that I'm in. If my hopes, it doesn't have a period. But if it did go down, is that I would be in Nashville. And you want it far enough away that it's outside of everything, but it's got to be within walking distance of a day to a day and a half.
Bicycle.
So that's why.
Do you have your prepper bicycle?
Also a motorcycle with a carburetor. So it's not going to be an electrical
what
start.
Kind of
so
have?
Two-stroke.
The Rokon?
You know, so,
have you seen those Rokons? They're like a four-wheel drive. Yeah. It's a two-wheel drive. Like, it's a motorcycle. Both the front and the rear wheels are driven.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And they're awesome. They're EMP-proof. Because old school tech. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you got. You're going to have a car pre-1985, you know. You're going to have to have a, you know, just a regular carburetor. And
I love this talk.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to have me an old Bronco and a little C80, CR80 motorcycle, a little Honda, and I'll be good to go, man. Generator.
Yeah, I don't think that you'll have any problem making it. I think, like...
Carl wouldn't make it.
Carl.
I think McGraw is screwed. I don't think he's going to make it.
So why McGraw?
I think he's lived in that world.
He doesn't
so
have enough
long.
Body fat on him.
That's right. He doesn't have body fat.
If you don't have body fat, you're kind of screwed.
I think he's lived in that world so long.
The pampered world?
Yeah, that it's...
Okay, I didn't know where you were going with.
He's accustomed to whatever.
You.
I think like Dirks would make it.
Yeah.
I think Dirks is fine.
Dirks might be a lot more civilized than you think. I'm just messing with you. I'm teasing.
I don't know. Dirks is the only guy I know who flies his own jet.
Yeah, I was just talking with him the other day. He actually is, Dirks would be good to go.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Yeah, he'd be good to go.
I feel like McGraw, though, could outrun the zombies because he's so in shape.
In
like
that
he
movie
would be
Zombie
like,
Land where they say rule number one, cardio, because, you know,
yeah,
he can't
let's
outrun
do this.
The zombies.
Let's do this. Which artist would be the first one to fold?
Oh, right, wow.
Let's do this. Who'd be the first to fold, and who would be the last person you want in your foxhole?
You know
what I mean? Like,
I'm going to tell you right now, my number one.
Who would
one,
sell you out the fastest?
My number one that I want with me is Craig Morgan.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Craig Morgan.
You take Craig over me.
I would.
Let me tell you right now, Craig has ammunition. I got ammunition.
Craig's
a retired Army Ranger.
Yeah, seriously. Like,
and
Craig
he also has cash.
And you saw the hot tub incident. You know I could. You know that I could provide women.
I changed your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is more important than that?
I'm just saying. I mean, that guy's got it. He is prepped, man. I really think he is way deeper into this than even you or I could imagine. I mean, he's a hardcore prepper.
You know what? I have been around Craig, and I do think Craig. I don't think Craig would be a better pick than me, but I think Craig is easily a BCS top five pick. Easily.
Yeah.
I had this image of the apocalypse and Patrick and Kip. Are sitting together,
yeah,
and they're in one of those shipping containers, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and it's all, you know, camouflage. And Patrick's like, man, I sure wish I had a woman here. And he's Kip's like, man, I'm gonna do you a solid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are you gonna do? He just walks outside, takes his shirt off, and goes.
Wait a minute. Is that my singing voice? Is that what you're doing?
No, that's like a Tarzan call.
That's your rutt call.
Sasquatch.
Your rutt.
Sasquatch. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
You just kind of...
Sounds like somebody who got the wind knocked out of him.
And then Patrick's over there glassing, and he's just looking, you know, like, hey. Oh, I got one. Hey. Oh, it's working.
So who's the last artist you want in the foxhole with you? Who are we going with? Is this too touchy?
Are we allowed
subject?
To say no. Billy Gilman?
Yeah.
No, you can't
no,
say
that's
Billy.
That's the low-hanging fruit, man.
That's the easy joke. Okay. And when easy you need joke. To make a joke about
man,
an artist,
you can't
it's,
say Billy.
You, know,
you can't say
so
Hunter
easy.
Hayes. Those are all.
Wait, why not?
Okay. Oh.
I want Can people, we say Hunter? I want people who know how to reload. I want people who know how to shoot their bow.
I get it.
Who,
so we talked about, you said you want Craig Morgan. Well, who's the last person that, like,
Bubba don't want to
who
say.
Do you think is going to fold the fastest? You're saying Craig's going to be the strongest, which I highly disagree with.
Well,
but no, I'm joking.
I don't
Craig.
Want, I want, it's got to be a dude.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I think Gretchen no, Wilson can, might be kind of good to have.
I can pick a chick because I don't want competition for my
but you're gonna have,
breeding
you know what,
potential.
You know what I mean? Like somebody that's good with rationale and thinking, you know, that kind of thing. Like it's not always just about brute strength.
I'm
going to
tell you,
know you
right
mean?
Now, like, and I'm going to actually name somebody who I consider a friend and who I really like, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's Big Kenny. I don't want Big Kenny around in the friggin' inside.
See, you don't know. Big Kenny's a hippie, bro.
I know he is. He could probably be growing plants and stuff, but it would also be like,
he would be a good
what we need to listen, everybody, what we need to do is just all need to try to get along. And, like, zombies are coming after us. Kenny's trying to talk to the zombies.
Love everybody.
Hey, man, why are you trying to bite me, man? It's like, I'm like, nah, it's not going to work. I'm just saying.
You know what? I was going to say, if you stick with the big and rich thing, I would have to go John Rich because John Rich can snap on you. He will sell you out. John, I love you to death, brother. I love
you,
man.
You know what?
I think John
I can see
would sell
John,
me out.
I can see John making a deal like with another clan.
He's
and then,
a broker.
And then you're,
he'd go, look, yeah. I'll give you the fat one if you give me that one.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
You know what?
We need your medicine and your bandages.
Now you're thinking wise.
We'll give you the fat guy with the giant calves.
You don't want Trace. Trace would eat all your food.
You know who you want is Carrie Underwood because she's not going to touch the meat. So you go out and kill your game.
You know, I want to tell you that's who
she's
that's
just going to eat plants.
Now that's it.
You know
the last
think,
one I want
you know
is Carrie.
Who, you know who I think would be a solid one in the foxhole, and this might be a weird pick. I think that Kelsey Ballerini would be a solid one because.
I can't see that, man.
It's not from a brute strength kind of thing, but I think that she'd be savvy. I think that she'd be savvy, and I think she'd be loyal, and I think that she would be. I think that she would come up with good problem solving. You know, ways
that.
to keep you alive. I think she'd be. I think she'd be a good asset. I do.
Okay,
I get that.
Just from the female side of things, not the guy side of things.
Who's the last person you?
Oh,
see, you
man.
Made us. You made us call him out.
Oh man. you know, the last person that I'm gonna take is Jaren Johnston. It's the last one I'm taking with me. Now, Jaren's one of my best buddies in the business, but I could see Jaren just being. Laying down on you pretty fast.
No, we're talking somebody that everybody knows. We already had to call somebody out.
Yeah.
You can't do that, man. Put us on the spot like that.
I'm going to get back to that one. I'm going to get back.
God,
I'm going to have
seriously?
One.
You're the one who brought it up.
I'm going to have one by the end of the show. I'm going to have a good one. Uh-huh. I'll have a good one.
All right. So, Bubba told me that you have a ghost story. Have you seen a ghost before? Have you had any kind of...
Whoa, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much time we got, but
we
I've
got all the time in the world.
Yeah. I've yeah,
I got a game
you know,
tomorrow at 8 a.m. But just other than that,
all
good.
I have to do is go fishing today. So
it's hard just to tell the ghost to explain the ghost story without explaining kind of my mental state at that time in my life. I was when I moved to Nashville. And even I've kind of been on my own since I've been 17. You know, I left for college like 6 hours away to go play basketball. And my whole thing was getting scholarships that paid for everything. So my parents, those six kids, I don't want to pay for me, you know, this and that. And
you had five brothers and sisters?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, I pretty much since I've been 17, I've been living in some really crappy apartments, you know, some places that should have been condemned. And when I got to Nashville, I lived in this place that was, I mean, it was the, I, last time I saw it, it had yellow tape all around the house. I think some crime scene had happened. But anyways, neither here nor there. It was just a bad place. And but it's almost like I've kind of learned that I'm one of those people a lot of times that I thrive off of that kind of feeling and that kind of desperation. And
you like being hungry.
Yeah, and I think that it's not so much a lot of times that I so much like it. It's that I know that I operate well in that kind of mental capacity.
So that's why you would also be good in the apocalypse.
I'd be dang good. I'd be better than Craig Morgan, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Anyways. Craig would be solid, but I got Craig in the top five BCS. But anyways. Right. So with all that being said, you know, I think about, you know, the garage apartment that I was living in up until I was about 29 and just those feelings of the music business will do a really weird thing to you anyway, mentally, you know, even before you make it and while you've kind of, you know, I don't consider myself made it, but I've had some success in it. But it's this weird sense of not being good enough a lot of times. And, you know, you go to other jobs and you do your job, you go home, you leave the job at home, but you're constantly on that thing of, mm-hmm. It's constant
okay, so
judgment.
Who's saying that you're not good enough? Or people around you, or record labels?
I just mean it's a constant feeling of, say, everybody's kind of riding on this one song that you got, and we're going to make it to the top, and then all of a sudden it doesn't. You know, you feel responsible for that a lot, you know, and you feel responsible for if a show went bad, and you feel like people were despondent, and you didn't quite get them the way. It's just a constant thing that you carry a lot of times.
From everybody, actually.
Yeah, it's a weird psychological toll, and I think that all the travel and sleep deprivation plays in a lot too. But I think
getting on the bus would be the worst feeling ever, because you go from you're there in front of thousands of people who are like, "Kip, have my baby," you know, "You're the greatest thing ever," and then you're so loved, and you got all these people patting you on your back, and then you get on the bus and you're by yourself.
I don't struggle with that as much. I know what you're saying. I do struggle with the isolation of the journey a lot. Yeah, that is kind of a thing. I kind of crave isolation, then I crave, you know, community. It's a really strange thing. But I think about the garage apartment I was living in, and being 29, you look up and all your friends they got their 401k plans, and they're having babies, and their white picket fence house, and their golden retriever, and their house smells like apple pie, and it's all that kind of stuff. And you're kind of just... You feel like a loser. But I think about during that moment when I wrote the whole Up All Night record, which was, you know, a platinum record, and it had all these hits off of it. And I think about, okay, when I got done with that, you know, now I got to write another record. Well, you know, at that time I was having a little bit of success, and I moved into just a decent apartment. But it was the nicest thing I'd ever lived in. And it wasn't anything fancy, but I found myself almost feeling like I was getting that comfortable, civilized kind of thing. I'd come home and I'd watch TV, which I hadn't watched TV in years. You know, it was just always writing and doing music. So I called my publishing boss, Brett, who has this like house that was built like in 1860 or 70. And when he bought it, the person said that it was haunted. It was in the contract. He had to tell Brett, you know, and Brett was like, you know, whatever, this place
is. Do you really have to do that?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah,
that's
so
great.
So that was also the publishing house that I wrote most of that first record in. I'd be, you know, there at my house and there, you know, back and forth. And it was really vibey. It's super old and creaky. You know, it's no TVs, no couches, and it's just chairs and pianos and amps and guitars. And but I told him that I was going to move into the upstairs little tiny room. That was cool. And
attic room or just
it's a spooky room, and it's super small. I mean, it's smaller than this room that Patrick's in right now.
Patrick's studio or office?
So, you know, I had all my stuff in there. I sat on a really, you know, it was a really old twin mattress. I didn't have hot water. I took cold showers every morning, and that was through the winter. But that helped me kind of feel like I was just broke as could be. And I wrote the whole Wild Ones record in that.
And this is after you had a platinum album.
Yeah. Okay. And it was... So I started to think that I couldn't do this unless I was... living like that. So the last part before we get to the ghost was during that time, I'd actually written a record before Wild Ones that got shelved. And that's another thing that you battle where this isn't
good
enough.
It wasn't good enough. Oh.
You know, they were like, this is too rock and roll. This is too this and that, you know? So then I did Wild Ones, and Wild Ones wasn't having quite the commercial success of Up All Night. And then it was just the whole, I became a complete insomniac, which really will mess with you mentally really bad. I mean, I'd be up for 48 straight hours, and it wasn't drugs. It wasn't anything. It was just that I was mentally really messed up. So I went in this really dark spiral. So I'm living in this place, and I'm in this dark spiral, which this place doesn't help that. And I think that this might kind of sound really strange, but I've always had my faith, and I've always been a spiritual person. But I think at that particular time in my life, I was very susceptible to, I do believe there's a battle of good and evil going on all the time. And I think that that's the reason that was happening to me in that moment, because I've been writing in that house for years. But it started with things like lights that you're sitting right there, light goes on, goes off, that kind of stuff. And it wasn't a flicker. It was more of a very direct kind of thing. But it wasn't enough to really scare you bad. I was like, okay, that's strange. And it would be things like, the basement light, there's a hole in the floor of the pantry. And, I would go down there at 11 o'clock before I'm going to bed. I'm the only one in the house, and the light would be on. And I'd say, well, I know that wasn't on a minute ago. And I'd cut it off, the switch would be off. And I'd come back down in the middle of the night to get something to drink, and that light would be back on, and the switch is off. Things like that were, and then it got to where just everything kept kind of building. I'd go down in the kitchen in the middle of the night, and the garbage disposal was a crazy loud old garbage disposal, and the switch was underneath the sink. And I'd be walking off, and that thing would flick on. And then it
by
would
itself.
Cut, yeah.
Nobody
would,
around.
And then it would cut off, and I'd look up underneath, and the switch would be off. And then I'd walk back off, and it would cut back on. So then it was very, the hair would stand up my arm, and it would be a really cold feel in the room. And then I went upstairs. A couple weeks go by, and I'm laying in my bed. I'm almost asleep, and just as clear as day from me to you. I mean, 2-3 feet, there's a very distinct broom just sweeping right beside my head. And I just, I sat up in my bed, and it was pretty scary. But I just said,
was it really there, or was it just a vision?
No, I could just hear it. I couldn't see anything, but I could hear it. And I was just like, I know there's not a broom sweeping beside me right now. And it stopped, and I sat in my bed for 2 or 3 minutes.
Were your eyes open or closed?
They were open. I was just like sitting there in dead silence. And then it just started right back up for another 5 seconds. And I out loud said this in the room. I said, hey, look, I was scared to death, but I was trying to like make myself be calm. And I said, clean all you want. This is your place. I'm going to lay back down and go to bed, but feel free to clean. And I lay back down. And so a couple more weeks go by, and I told my manager, I said, hey, look, man, I think I'm about ready to get me a place. And I told him what was happening. And the last couple things that happened, I will never be able to explain the magnitude of the sound that I was hearing. But it was straight out of an Exorcist movie. It was straight out of, one of those horror flicks you see on TV. I'm laying in my bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. If 5,000 people surrounded every fiber and every inch of the house, of every room, it was like on the count of three, every single person was beating as hard as they could on those walls and on the floor, up underneath you, up above you. You can imagine waking up to that, and it feels like, there's a million people breaking in the house.
When you would wake up, was the sound still happening?
Oh, yeah. It carried on for probably 3 more seconds to the point where my bed was shaking and almost like levitating. Like it was the weirdest, like people were throwing grenades all through the house. And the magnitude of the sound that I heard, it's for people don't know Brett James, I mean, he's written like 20 number one. So all of his plaques are all over the walls. And then it's got like my stuff, Justin Weaver's stuff. It's got everybody that writes for that company. That place would have been in complete shambles with what I heard. So by the time I finally got the nerve to open the door and look downstairs, I mean, the place was just in mint condition. So it's almost like whatever entity that is, it can create this thing that's,
almost.
Yeah, it's not real or something, because there's no way that you could cause that. Like I said, my bed was literally rising.
Was this
shaking.
During the time you weren't sleeping for 48 hours? No, really. Because
I can tell you, I was very conscious. Like this wasn't like where I had
lost my mind.
No, I wasn't hallucinating. I don't do drugs.
But sleep deprivation
smoke a left-handed thing every now and then, but that's about it.
but I'm
anyway.
Saying sleep deprivation can cause hallucinations. No, that is something that
it wasn't.
Could.
I had been to bed the night before. This wasn't that case. I can promise you that.
Well, and I'm not
yeah,
discrediting that because I totally believe in the weird stuff going on.
And I can tell you this too. You know, I left, went back on the road, and I told manager I want a place when I get back. And so when I got back, he said, "Hey, I got a few places. We're just going to have to go look at them." And so I had to stay there, you know, another night. And sure enough, 3 o'clock in the morning, about the same time, man, it was every single inch of the house. If you can imagine that waking you up. Yeah, man. I mean, it was the single most terrifying thing I've ever experienced. And that was it. I sat up in my bed.
Did you feel like you were in any kind of danger?
You know, it was weird, man.
Or was it just trying to get your attention?
I kind of did, but I also, man, I sat in my bed, you know, and I sat up, and you know, because it carried on for a good 3 or 4 seconds after I had, you know, come
like
to my
did
senses.
The last time.
Yeah, and I just sat in my bed and I just kind of said a prayer, and I was just like, you know, I know that this, you know, it was just kind of that thing of, you know, I know what's happening, you know, there's something really trying to, you know, scare me, but I'm good. If I believe in what I believe in, then I'm good, you know. And but yeah, I did move out. I moved out the very next day. But I even think about before that, you know, I think about there was a bat that, I mean, where does this ever happen? There was a bat that flew into the house and bit one of the songwriters. You know, I think about this, you know, there were a lot of weird things that took place in that house that just wasn't normal. So,
why does Brett still live there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he doesn't. And, you know, everybody writes there, and I was still going there to write.
Oh, so it was just, you know, a place he had.
It was just it's a publishing house that he didn't want it to feel like a corporate building that you walk into and you write. He wanted to make it like, you know, home, and you go in, and it's a great hang in the daytime. I'm not staying there.
I mean, are
there
you
anymore.
Checking sunset? Like, all right, we got to be gone.
I have that little notification that comes on my phone.
No way.
It tells you 15 minutes before sunset. You can do that, man. It's great.
Did it feel dark?
Like, oh, evil? Yeah. You know, it always had that thing to me. I mean, like, in the daytime, not so much. But at nighttime, it took on a whole different kind of vibe.
When you were there at night and you're sitting in the living room or whatever, and you're by yourself, did you feel an increase in...
Yeah, I did.
Almost like a... Like everything's coming in on you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was another writer in town named Charlie Berry. I remember me and Brett were writing one day, and it was his first time ever being there. He didn't know anything about the house. He was meeting Troy Virtus there. And Troy wasn't there yet, and he walked into our room when we were writing. He said, "Hey, is this place haunted?" And we kind of looked at him. We were like, you know, and this was before all this stuff happened to me. I was like, that's the word, but we've never had anything. He said, "Yeah, some woman just walked through me." He said, "Tell Troy I'm out of here. He can come right with me at my house."
That was his first time there, and a woman walked through him.
He said he felt a woman trying to get by him and then just walked through him. So, you know, there's little stuff like that, you know, where...
Well, you know, whenever we built this place, Big D and Kathy and who else came through with the scriptures?
I had a couple of people.
Yeah, we have actually behind all the sound deadening material in here, there are scriptures on the walls just for protection, just to keep any bad, you know, stuff out, because we're weird like that.
You know, I've never, and this is just me, like I've never been one of those superstition people, or, you know, you carry a certain piece of jewelry that's got a cross on it or whatever. I believe it's got to be in your heart or it's useless.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't believe in all the,
the talismans.
Yeah, I'm just not.
I mean, you it doesn't matter. You can write whatever you want on these walls.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe in why you're doing it, because it's all faith-based. It's you know, it's just like with anything. I just think it's interesting that you had that experience, because I think whatever it was, and I think it's more of a demonic thing.
100%.
And I think it was, you know, people get into a real, people like you, because you're very sensitive to good and bad, and you're very perceptive to it. Some people are, and that's good, because I think most people are super calloused.
Yeah.
And things go by and they never feel it. They can walk into a room and they're like, I don't know, this sounds fine to me.
100%.
And but for you, you'll walk into a room or a restaurant that's at an old house or someone's house or wherever, a building, and you'll go and you'll feel it. It's the same feeling you had probably at a lesser scale. The feeling you had in that house, you probably, when you watched Ozark, you had a little bit of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ozark, I'm not kidding, man. Ozark did something to me where I woke up in the middle of the night and it was almost, I was borderline, like, you know, waking up and I had this feeling of despair. Like, I was almost borderline emotional with it. Like,
well, I don't want to watch like, that show then.
I think it senses that and it really feeds off of it. It attacks you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got to be real careful with that stuff. Like, you personally.
Yeah, that's my only, you know, time ever. But I don't know.
Has anything happened?
I mean, except for when you. Well, I think there are other things, maybe not as strong, but.
I feel like I know, you know, that I pick up on a lot more stuff than I feel like my surroundings of people do a lot of times, and that's even just anything. You know, that's me seeing a situation, maybe in a restaurant, and me being like, man, you know, something's. I really feel for that couple right there for some reason. I'm like, you know, are y'all watching that? Like that body language? And they're like, yeah, I don't see anything. I'm, you know, so it's that. I just feel like I just observe what's going on around me too, to a maybe a heavier degree.
Yeah. Well, I do want to. You flip these phones over, Bubba.
Yeah.
I want to, if you don't mind. Do you have your headsets on?
Yeah, we're all listening. I just didn't turn it up until you were done dialing. Because there's some people who can figure out what number you're calling by the beeps.
Someone I want to call that I think can help all of us. They answer. He knew I was calling.
Why do I have anxiety that you're? I'm like, who is he calling?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if this is going to be a joke or if this is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you always think I'm joking?
Because that's what you do. That's what happens in this room.
Kip's always like thinks I'm trying to do something, and that's not the case. I mean, sometimes. Hey, man.
This Derek, leave me a message.
Okay.
Oh. I know who you called. You know who it is. Do you know who it is, Kip?
Okay. I do.
Okay, good. I don't want. It's good. That's good that you don't know who it is. Because
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, turn it off.
Man.
And he knew you were calling?
Yes, he knows. I told him. He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'll call him in a second. he wasn't. He's texting. And he's saying, Okay, all right. He's like, okay, I'm ready now. Golly, these important people.
This is great. Kip's like having this moment, and then Big D goes there.
Well, it's balance, man. It's all about balance.
In so many ways.
Because you can get.
Hello.
Hey, man. So Kip says that he thinks he would be a better prepper than you. I mean,
Craig, this is Craig. I'll tell you what I said. I said that I think that you're a solid BCS top five pick for like the end of the day guys that I won't go with me, but you're not in the number one slot like I'd be.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
So you've got enough food and resources to last you and about 20 people at least a year, right?
Well,
I was about 6 months, but maybe I need to stock up a little bit more.
Oh, son, you got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I picked Craig.
Yep, that's true. Bubba picked Craig.
We have multiple locations, multiple weapon systems, multiple food sources.
Well, Craig,
around the country.
Yeah.
And not
so no matter where you're on tour, you're pretty okay.
Well, I changed everything I said. Craig, just know that I'm a good guy to have around in case you get in the jam.
Hey Kip, I want you on my side.
Yeah. we've been actually talking about who would be the first person you want in the artist community and who'd be the last person that you'd want. So you definitely come up there in the high rank spot.
Well, I'll tell you somebody else y'all need to call who may be more equipped than myself. That's Zach Brown.
Oh, you know what? I didn't think about that, but that's yeah. there's got
you
that's
know
absolutely
Miranda
true.
Lambert's dad too is on a whole nother level.
Yeah, isn't he like a PI or something?
He's
yeah.
got an insane setup, like it's out of this world. Yeah.
Hey, Craig, who would you not want in your foxhole?
And I'll tell you who I picked while you're thinking about it. I actually picked John Rich, not because he wouldn't be good, but because he would probably make a deal to put me off the island or wherever we are. He would be like, "Yeah, you guys can have the fat guy. I'll trade you this guy to be your worker for a bottle of wine."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Salt.
Yeah, and he's loud.
Paprika.
He's loud.
I don't know.
I would probably have to say probably Blake.
Oh, you know what? That's good though, because as much as he's a rough guy who can handle some stuff, he would be a pain in the butt.
No, wait, are you saying to be with him he would be your last pick?
My last pick.
Yeah, he would be awful to have. It would not be fun. It would be fun. It's fun having Blake around when everything's going fine, but when everything's going bad, he'd still be cracking jokes. He'd still be drinking.
I think he's done got soft, you know.
Hey, Craig, he's no longer an alley cat. He's just a house cat now, right, Andy?
Oh, wow.
Listen, I love him. He's one of my best friends in the world. But unless you got beer available, it's not going to be much good to you.
I'm going to say, mine is going to be double. I'm going to say Dan and Shay.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Yeah,
that's
and I love, again.
That's,
again,
that's probably a better pick.
I'm just again. I like them. I love them to pieces. They're great.
I love giving those guys a hard time. Yeah,
they're great. I mean, they can take selfies and they're really good at that. But yeah.
Two of my favorite people in the whole world. I love them to death.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
but you don't want them on your prepper team.
This is like man.
I just don't know. I've never seen them outside of them skinny jeans. Yeah.
This is. I just realized that we have our own guy version of Bless His Heart, and it's I love him, great guy, and I love him to death. But
that's right.
And then we say something terrible about him.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, that's not right, is it?
Yeah, that's not right. Not. But it's all true.
We're still waiting for Kip. We're still waiting for Kip to tell us.
You know, I just had one, and I freaking slipped.
It's got to be somebody. It's got to be somebody. You can't not be in on this. You're the one who came up with the idea.
I'm gonna say Charles Kelly from Lady A.
Really?
But he could get the high stuff. He could pick things out of trees.
I feel like Charles is a house cat now, 100%. Like, you know, I just feel like he's completely domesticated.
That's fair.
And I feel like Charles would need, like, you know, he'd need to be clean, and I feel like Charles would crack.
Yeah, you take away his mustache and beard comb, he's probably falling apart.
I feel like Charles is going to crack under the pressures of apocalyptic, you know, situations.
Hey, boys.
Yeah, you got to go.
I'm out here on this American Stories tour, and I got the Medal of Honor recipient, Clint Romachet, with me.
Wow.
Wow.
This is a guy who has truly survived. He wrote the book Red Platoon, and he would tell you, who would you say you would pick, Clint?
I would have to say Blake.
you would pick Blake to take with you or not with you?
Not with me. Yeah. I think it'd be horrible. I don't think there'd be enough, you know, knock cream on the planet to keep his skin clean.
Oh, wow. Oh, he said he was tall enough you could use him to make a lean-to out of. Y'all know we're just picking on everybody. I'll tell you this. If the stuff hit the fan, I don't know any other group of people I'd rather be with. They would definitely keep us entertained, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Hey, just letting all you guys know.
I got trees marked as to which trees are going to get cut down to block the roads if you come near my place. That's bad.
I know. Isn't that great?
On the real.
Isn't that great?
On the real, though, Craig, I'm the guy that you want, so make sure you call me when stuff hits the fan.
I'm a hard worker, and I've been fixed, so you don't have to worry about me like giving you any competition on repopulating the world.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's, you know, Bubba's not, he's not in that game.
Well, I'm going to call you guys for sure because y'all are going to fly.
Yeah.
You're going to pick up the people we need. Kip, you're in the top five, and background for sure in my top five.
All right, man. Take care.
That's the ones I want now, not the ones I don't want. Y'all are the ones I want.
And Craig, tell Clint that we said thanks for everything he does
for
each and every day and just how cool it is that he's there with you.
Say it again, buddy.
I just said how we're just kind of blown away about how cool it is that you're hanging out with a Medal of Honor recipient.
Yeah, that's what I say. Every day we wake up, and he comes up here and stands at attention, drinks his coffee while saluting the American flag.
Wow. Can he play football? We could use him.
Yeah.
No, he uses football to wipe his butt with.
All right, man. Thank you, brother. Good seeing you. Tell the lady and the kids we said hey.
I will, brother. Y'all be safe. Right. God bless.
Yeah, plus I would have to tell Dan and Shay, like, no, Apple TV doesn't work anymore.
I don't know. Of all the people in this business, Shay might be the funniest one in this whole country music. Him and Gary LaVox, if you really get him going.
Yeah.
Shay is hysterical when you get him.
See, that's not the Shay really we get in here is fun.
Man, you
but
get
he's
him
never
out,
turned on the funny.
You get him outside of this and he'll have your belly laughing. He's my band, you know, they've hitched a ride with us a couple times from different places and he has us all just the whole time. We can't even breathe, man. He's a riot. Gary LaVox is right there too. I would have never known it about Gary. But Gary's one of my favorites.
Gary would be a good one to have.
I don't know about that. You know, I switched my pick from Charles to Gary. He'd be my last one. He'd be my last pick.
Really?
Gary wouldn't lift a finger for anything.
But he hunts all the time.
Nah, man, I'm not taking Gary. And Gary knows how much I love him, but I'm not taking Gary. That's not happening.
Who would be your last that you would have on your foxhole between all of us? Excluding Carson. Who's the last one? Is it me?
Patrick's my last because of this. No, stop, stop.
I mean, I'm the big guy.
No. See, I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to go there.
Also, I don't want to. No. I'm just telling you, I don't want to hunt or shoot things.
I see you cracking by far the fastest and becoming.
God, this is awful.
And becoming a problem in a sense of, like, you're complaining about everything, I feel like, and you'd be difficult to, like, keep in check.
I should never brought it
Listen,
up.
Listen,
yeah,
that's what I feel. No. None of that offends me, because I'm telling you right now, in a world without air conditioning and you know,
can you say that
electricity,
like with the DJ voice?
Yeah, I see us trying to be quiet. Like, I see us trying to be quiet, and like we've got like the zombies outside, and he would be like, "I don't want to do this anymore." Like, oh, yeah. I feel like it would draw attention to everything, you know. So he'd be the last guy.
His breathing alone would attract everything.
You know what?
Come on. Oh.
Yeah,
my breathing is not as heavy as it used to be. Still pretty bad.
What is that noise? Maybe that's what you heard at that house.
Was
Patrick
great.
There?
That is great, man.
Oh, my God. It's back. Oh, that's me, Kip. My bad.
Yeah, there's something I need to tell you, Kip. That was probably.
Did we cover everything? Is there anything that we need to talk about?
That's funny.
Anything?
We talked about your ghost house.
Yeah. Anything you want to bring up, Kip?
I'm all right, man. I'm good. Yeah.
Good?
I'm good.
Okay, Patrick, is there anything
I'm going to say Kip's new album is awesome and everybody should go check it out.
It is.
And I'm not just saying that because I have to. I've been spending some time with it. It's really good.
I spent some time with it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, because when it first came out,
you know, I listened to it a bunch because we were going to be, you know, anytime we have to do an interview and then we were going to be down there in Jamaica doing this whole thing. But then, you know, after you listen to a record over a couple of weeks or over a couple of months, it changes, you know.
I appreciate it.
It's never the same thing. I remember the songs that I liked a lot at first weren't the ones I liked as much later, you know.
I try to make it where it's every single song. I try to put just as much from one to the next. I think about a song like Guitar Man we just played in England.
Which actually sounds kind of
and watching
like an
the
Irish
way watching the way that thing, you know, it was special, and that song was special for me because it was it's the most personal song I've ever written in my whole life. So, and I had to tap into a lot of old things to really write that song. It was more about the journey to get to where.
Are you familiar with it, D?
I'm not.
It's basically it sounds like he's just telling you about his life. On the road and things.
Can you pull it up?
Can I play that? I don't know if we can.
Yeah, I don't know the rules.
I mean, you can totally play it. It's already out on the record. You can play whatever you want.
No, but I'm saying, like,
on a podcast, there's rules about music that are weird, but I think we can play a little bit. And
okay. Give me a sec, and I'll get something up here.
Like, I could play the dang thing. But
back. Oh, I got my my Facebook feed going. Here we go.
Sun going down, still taste of whiskey, fresh on my mouth. Hot cup of coffee, smoke in my hand. Another day in the life of a guitar man. La-da-da. Well, last night was a good night as I reach in my jeans. Crumpled up ones, few tens in between. And a redhead named Annie, she's still fast asleep. Made me make her a promise she knows I can't keep. La da da. Time to fire up that two-tone bucket of rust. Throw my amp in my case, the back of my truck. Breathe in my freedom with the windows rolled down. 46 miles till the next nameless town. La da da. Well, the place is still empty when I walk in the door. Stench from the beer spilling up through the floor. Give a nod to sweet Lisa, she mixes the drinks. Life's been hard on her, but she's been good to me. La-da-da.
It's just a little bit. Yeah, honestly, you should go download the album because...
That song was all recorded in one take. Like wow, the vocal, you know, when you do records, you know, you do a scratch vocal and then you come back and you actually take time to sing the vocal. We did that all in like, that was a very, we had spent 2 hours trying to record that as a full band and I just couldn't get it was the one song on the record I couldn't get the arrangement right. We were really all kind of fighting each other in a sense musically. And I stepped out of the room. I told everybody to come out. Let's take a break from it. We only had 10 minutes left. I was like, well, this isn't going to get to make the record now. And I'm trying to, like, gather my thoughts. Okay, I got to think quick, you know. And Tom Bukovac and Dave Cohen stayed behind in the room. And Dave just kind of started playing the organ by himself. And then Tom was doing the arrangement we talked about on the guitar. And kind of just started feeling it with Dave. And as they were playing it, I was like, you know, that's it. That's how the song is meant to be done. So I told my engineer, I said, I want you to hit record. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to walk into the vocal booth. And we're going to get this in one take, so be ready. And
could they hear you doing the vocals? Or
yeah, for sure. Okay. And so, but they just thought I was doing another scratch vocal. So I just went in there and I told the guys, I love what's happening right now. I said, just do me a favor. I said, guys, just start from the top, and I'm just going to kind of sing this and see how it feels. And I went into the vocal booth, and that's all in one take. There's no, you know, when you do vocals now, a lot of times you cut and paste of your best performances and
for
you
each line.
Yeah, and you can hear me in there trying to catch up my phrasing, my breaths, my everything. But I loved how organic and real that take felt that ended up being the record.
Was the la-di-da part, was that in the...
It wasn't in my original way I wrote it. It was kind of like an ad-lib thing where I just kind of like, you know,
I don't know why,
that,
but that
you know?
To me just always jumps out. You know, it's just...
Yeah. That was just kind of a spontaneous and it was the thing that I did. I did another thing like that with a song called Blonde on the record. The ending, the whole ending was just me just kind of freestyling. And but I think about like Guitar Man, you know, when I get to that part about, you know, well, I had me a pretty baby. I thought she was the one, you know, but she soon grew tired of this love on the run. She said she felt second, told me I had to choose. She's back in Georgia and I'm here with you. I think about how profound that moment was in my life. It was the first time I'd ever been in love, and I was 21 years old, and my first feeling of what I thought love was. It was just that reckless feeling about somebody, and I still had the innocence about me where, you know, I said I was going to move to Nashville and try to be a songwriter, and, you know, her plan was to come up there and when she finished school and you know, be with me, you know, that kind of thing. And we were going to try to make a life together, you know. And so glad it didn't happen. But when I look back on it, it just wasn't right. You know, it wasn't the right time, wasn't the right person. It was all those kind of things. But I was just so reckless about it. You know, it was one of the few times in my life where I've been all in, you know, and just mentally everything, you know. And about 3 months into it, you know, it was one night, you know, she was one way. And the next day it was just completely cold and turned off. And it was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm over it. Take care. Good life. You know, I was like, whoa, hang on 1 second. It was just like, click, you know, it's over. And I thought that I could fix it by driving down there. And I think about, you know, I had no money. And I had a little broke down Nissan truck that got about 6 miles to the gallon. I drove 9 miles down to South Georgia and tried to fix it. And I remember standing in her mama's kitchen. Her mama was amazing. I loved her. She was great. But she was kind of asking me, you know, what was going on in Nashville and did I have anything happening? And I just said, you know, well, not a whole lot kicking right now. You know, I got a couple meetings and we'll see what comes of it. And I'll never forget the girl looking up from washing dishes and said, ain't nothing happening with him and ain't nothing going to happen with him. And it was in that moment that was just that. It was like I grew up in that split second. It was just like wow.
Because she didn't, you know, believe in you at all, and you realized.
You know, I don't even know if it was that so much. I think a lot of it was just, I think that maybe kind of helped her to, like, not care about me, too, to shut it off and to be. But it was just somebody that I felt like I had treated so good that could just turn, you know, could turn on you in a split second and just be so cold. So it was my first thing of that innocence being broken a little bit, you know. So it was like, I remember I got in my truck, and so ironic, I mean, it never snows in South Georgia, you know, it's you know, and I remember the whole way back it's snowing and it's raining and it's, but it was in that moment that I'm riding back and I'm pretty devastated, but I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna make this damn thing happen now, you know, like. And it wasn't so much just to prove that person wrong, it was like, it was just more of a thing for myself at that time where that was my only focus. So that needed to happen for me because my focus, I became a madman in my pursuit of getting better. I practiced nonstop. I was just a very subpar guitar player. And now I can go a little bit.
What
you know,
was your, your goal? Like, okay, so you said, okay, I'm at that point you were focused. You had everything in your mind. You were like, I know exactly what I want now.
Yeah.
What was your goal? Was it? Because you said you wanted to be a songwriter.
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
was it that or the stardom?
I always wanted to be a singer-songwriter. I wanted to be, you know, your Bob Dylan, your Springsteen, your Jackson Brown, your Willie Nelson. You know, I wanted to write my own music, and I wanted to sing it. Then it was just about, you know, I think, too, from playing sports my whole life, you know, I approached music in a different probably manner than a lot did. I studied constantly. I was constantly practicing. And I was constantly listening to records till, you know, 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, my favorite records, and listening to so much Jackson Brown and those guys, and just trying to figure out why I was in love with certain types of movement and what moved me and how to write. You know, I grew up as a songwriter, you know, and I became so much better, you know, from being a student and studying those Springsteen records and Willie Nelson, Redheaded Stranger and those things. But I think I had to go through that moment to really flip that switch in me, you know. So I'm thankful for that.
How many other songs have you written about that same girl?
The song, that one moment in the song was about that girl. But that's it.
Well, then I'm going to say something that may sound inappropriate, but there's a better song there.
That's a great line.
No, but like you're right. It's just one line in a song. But that story is so powerful. I know that feeling. Yeah. When you said that, when you were telling that story, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And there's so much about that. And I remember I was joking with a friend of mine who's a country music singer, and talking about somebody else who was primarily known for singing love songs. I said, man, that must be tough later on, have to sing that song all the time. He goes, yeah, it's terrible. He said, you know what's easy to sing? Sad songs.
Yeah.
Because even when you're in a good mood, even when you're in a happy mood, angry, sad, it doesn't matter. You can always go back to that place when she broke your heart and find that emotion and sing that song.
Yeah,
that's, and so every night, you know, and I've talked to like to Tracy Lawrence about that, and you know, he goes, every night I can go on stage and I can, doesn't matter what mood I'm in, I can find that moment and I can sing I See It Now, because yeah. I know what it felt like. And I can always call that up. But when you're sad, it's hard to call up happy.
Yeah.
When you're lonely, it's hard to call up deeply in love. You know, yeah. I mean, that's, but there's, and that's the music that connects with me. Sunburn, I that kind of stuff. That yeah. where you're going, I think all country music should be about drinking or your woman leaving yeah. or drinking because she left. I think those are,
well, see, you know, there's bits and pieces. What I was going to say is there's bits and pieces, even like from Sunburn, that I might have tapped into with that particular person. Mm-hmm. I just don't usually craft an entire song around that, but I will tap into the moments and the things that I felt during that situation.
It's just that moment, her standing there and washing the dishes and saying, you know.
He's nothing.
He's nothing. He's never going to be nothing.
Yeah. And then the snow and the rain. And
that's like, all that's like the scene from the movie. I mean, that's like straight out of a movie.
And then it's, how do you like me now? How do you like me now?
Maybe not that one.
Now that I'm on my way.
You know what? God, man. I can just remember those.
You ever go stalk? Thing, you ever go stalk her on Facebook and see what she's doing?
Nah, I don't. You know, and
you've never looked her up.
You slide the name to us, and we'll do it for you.
And I'm one of the people, man. Where anybody, you know, I never. That is you know, and we've all had bad breakups, you know, this and that. But I have nothing but good and positive things to say about anybody I've ever hung out with. And I never throw anybody under the bus. I never. That was the only situation for me where it was that was kind of a permanent stain in that moment. But yeah, you know, I don't ever say her name, and I don't ever, you know, it's just something that happened. You know,
I can totally see that kitchen too.
Oh yeah.
Can't you see it?
Oh, man.
There's like, it's like a sink, and then there's like a window right over the sink. And
of course.
That's exactly what it was.
And it has the, exactly it has it the curtains, you know, about that tall, and they have like, they're white with like little flowers kind of on them.
Little
and
lacy flowers.
And they're kind of thin. You can kind of see through it a little bit, yeah. And you can kind of see the weather.
I can hear
bad.
The noise of the water running and the dishes.
It was,
the
a, it was a heavy moment.
And
it
she had one of those dish towels that she was using. She probably had it maybe over her shoulder.
I can remember this too. I can remember, this is the last thing I'll say. I know you guys got to go. You know, I can remember, I never had the money to go to this certain restaurant that was on in the town that was called Barbara Jean's. And, it was, you know, at the time.
Wait, you couldn't afford to go to Barbara Jean's?
No, it was like,
I was waiting for you to say one of the big steakhouses or something.
Well, that was on this particular place, you know, you were looking at about $60 a meal for two people,
you know,
and at the time that was like really high end, you know, I mean, that's still expensive, you know, so at the time I could never afford to go there. And I remember, you know, taking her there and there was barely a word spoken the whole time. And it was.
Was that before or after?
Text, you know, this was when I tried to go down there and fix it, you know, just remember, you know, her texting through the whole meal, you know, and me just having that moment of realization of, I'm a fool. I'm an idiot.
It was that first. She's not in this.
And it was that first time I'd ever really felt that feeling. You know, that total, you know, worthless kind of feeling in that moment. And then, you know, that was said to me after in the kitchen when we go back and I drop her off and I'm about to head back to Tennessee. And yeah, man, that was a heavy day for me. That was a growing up day.
But it was a good chicken fried steak though.
Yeah.
That's what
amazing,
I would remember.
Amazing crab cakes.
Man. You're like, golly, that was so good.
Kelly on Facebook wants to know, is there anyone in your life right now?
I don't discuss those things, Kelly.
All right, Kelly. You got to find out on your own, girl.
You had the Eastern Shore style crab cakes?
Yeah. Yeah.
That you had? All lump, back fin crab meat, no fillers.
Yeah.
I'm on their website right now.
I'm one of those people that always keeps my private life private. Whether I'm with or without somebody.
BarbaraJeans.com.
That's good. That's good.
You went to BarbaraJeans.com?
I'm looking at Barbara Jean.
Look at Barbara Jean.
Barbara Jean's exactly what you think Barbara Jean looks
I don't
like.
Know if it's a, I don't know if it's a chain, the one I was at. This might be a different.
Oh, no, this is it. This is the one place. They got a. They
where
got
does
a
it say it is?
Contact that.
Barbara Jean's is. Is it Barbara Jean's Restaurant and Bar, Easy Southern Dining?
No. No, this place was a nice seafood restaurant.
Well, this looks like a nice seafood restaurant.
Yeah. It was in St. Simon's Island.
Yep, St. Simon's
Island.
St.
Simon's Island, Georgia.
That's it. That's it.
Yep. I'm looking at it, man.
Getting
crab
a free
cakes.
Plug for Barbara Jean. Oh, yeah.
Remember eating off those that yellow plate they had?
I didn't remember that it was yellow.
Yellow. in the carrots that they had.
Yeah.
And the green beans, those cut green beans. And that chocolate stuffed dessert.
All right, you make me hungry so now.
Good. Yeah, seriously. Why are we talking about food?
Jim and Barbara
Jean.
No,
Barbara Jean.
Barta is their last name. I do that. My dad, he'll send me a thing. Like, he'll be on the road somewhere. Like, he likes to go, because he can't. My dad gambles. So he'll go, and he'll get, like, a free night at, you know, Harrah's or whatever. And, well, I'm going to Harrah's. We're going to Tunica. And so he'll go, and he'll send me this picture of a restaurant. And he's like, having seafood at this place, and it's great. And he'll just send me a picture of the restaurant / bar kind of looking thing. And I will go and I'll zoom in and I'll see, like, on a sign the name of the place. And then I go Google it. And then I find that place. And then I start looking at the menu. And I go, oh, that's a great place. Make sure you get and I name off what's on it.
That's good.
That I think he would probably get. Because he usually if it says platter in the menu item, he gets that.
Yeah.
So make sure you get the fried seafood platter, Dad. Oh, that's what I got. Have you been here before?
That's not the best trick he plays on his dad.
The best trick is the shirt.
The shirt or the
almost it's borderline evil
the face.
Because it's
no, it's
great.
The face.
I would take pictures. I take pictures of just random people out in public. Yeah. And then I do a face swap and I change his face and I put his face on their body. But I kind of change it to where you change the opacity of it to where it kind of, you know, and I kind of move stuff around to where it kind of, you know, maybe a little droopy or nod. And I'll send it to him. I go, oh, my God, this is so weird. I saw this guy at the restaurant. He looked a lot like you. And the first time he saw it, he was like, well, that's a good looking guy if you ask me.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, okay, this is weird. This guy kind of looks like you at the grocery store here. And he was like, yeah, he kind of does. Then like a week later, then by the fourth went into it, he's like, well, this is just weird. I mean, I can't imagine how this is happening.
That's when you got to go, Dad, did you ever talk to Grandpa about maybe things were a little out of line?
Hey, I got a strange thing before we go to see how this goes with you.
Okay.
What does Y-E-S spell?
Yes.
What does E-Y-E-S spell?
Eyes. Well, no, because, yeah, you said E-Y-E-S.
You're the first person
Most
that's
people
got that.
Don't do it right. Most,
yeah. A lot of people will do yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I was going to see if you fell for it. That wasn't even a thought. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I immediately thought eyes, too.
See, anyway, you guys should be number one on the list.
That's it. That's why I should be higher on the prepper list.
There you go.
Until you fall apart.
Until I've seriously. There's no doubt in my mind that we would be in a cabin somewhere and I would be going, it's hot! Ridiculous.
D, sliding down the wall. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my God.
I hate you guys. I have worked here too damn long.
We love you. That's why we pick.
Got a herd coming through, guys. Settle down. Sit down. Everyone quiet. Patrick, is that your stomach?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys.
I'm sorry.
That's what happened. That was a whole scene. We were trying to be quiet because the walkers were kept coming towards us.
This
and
is why
your
I'm
stomach.
He's not going to be quiet.
And your stomach.
Really? Yeah, because that's Bubba's stomach. This is this. We recorded this as the sound of Bubba's stomach.
Oh, God. Jeez.
<It's> awful.
That would be it.
That's yeah. Then I'll send, you know what? I'm going to go and say that's why you don't want Bubba in the hole.
Kip took his headphones off. He didn't even want to hear that.
I don't want none of that. I don't know what that was, but I don't want none of it.
All right. So, again, a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes. We've been doing this almost 80 minutes, and a lot has gone wrong.
A lot has gone wrong.
Your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear happens during warm-up. Castrol GTX Magnatec, however, has intelligent molecules. It clings to your engine like a magnet, and it provides you instant protection from the moment you start. Kip, are you done?
know.
He doesn't know. Wait a minute.
I'm just hanging out.
He's just hanging out now.
Well, I thought once you took the headphones off, you were done.
I can keep going.
You gonna play something? Where you gonna play?
No, I'm not. I'm just kind of. I thought it was.
He thought we were done, so that's why I picked the guitar up. Yeah.
So we are done.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody who watched on Facebook, and go ahead and share this with your friends. And those of you who are listening on the actual podcast apps, whether it's Google or Windows or Apple, thank you guys for listening. Subscribe. We love you, and we'll
Here's
see.
Here's Patrick.
On the
Patrick did our song for the beginning and end.
I'm not going to sing along and sing harmonies along with myself while he's sitting right there.
But it's you do it weird. All the time.
Why?
You
know, it's just weird.
Come on, man.
Why? Why wouldn't you?
It's weird. Come just on, play man. The song.
Why? Because he's a professional singer.
Because he's a professional singer.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show.
Come on, Patrick.
On the radio.
Attaboy.
Every day. It was the podcast.
I pointed at the camera.
Sorry. Hey, I'll see you later.